Since the Occupy Los Angeles encampment began on October 1st, it has grown into arguably the biggest in the nation, with nearly 500 tents occupying the space in front of City Hall. However, more than a week after a majority of tent cities around the country were evicted, many of them violently, the LAPD gave local activists a deadline of 1 minute past midnight last night to remove their tents. The city distributed flyers in Spanish and English to inform activists of the deadline and offered 50 shelter beds for homeless people among the campers. The uniquely cordial relationship between police and protesters in L.A. seems to be coming to an end. LAPD Chief Charlie Beck told the press, quote, "I have no illusions that everybody is going to leave. We anticipate that we will have to make arrests. But my officers would not be the first ones to apply force." Citing issues of public health and safety, L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa urged campers to move on, saying, quote, "It is time for Occupy L.A. to move from holding a particular patch of parkland to spreading the message of economic justice and signing more people up for the push to restore the balance to American society." More than 1,000 people gathered last night before the deadline, but it wasn't until early this morning that a tense standoff between protesters and police armed with batons and non-lethal weapons resulted in the arrest of 4 people. Police opened the streets to downtown to commuters at around 6 a.m. this morning, and as of now, there are very few officers left at the scene. In the lead-up to the deadline, Occupy LA activists were rumored to have been offered the use of a 10,000-square-foot space, a small amount of land to farm, and 100 beds for homeless activists, in exchange for ending the City Hall encampment. However, the offer could not be confirmed and was apparently rescinded. Occupy LA's General Assembly passed a resolution on November 23rd declaring, quote, "We will continue to occupy this space in solidarity with our global movement until the forces of the few are forced to capitulate to the power of the people." They renamed City Hall Park Solidarity Park and articulated a list of demands which includes a moratorium on foreclosures, rehabilitation and housing for LA's homeless, a revival of the South Central Farm, and a declaration for Los Angeles to be a sanctuary city for undocumented immigrants. Joining me on the line this morning is Clark Davis. He is a media coordinator for Occupy LA. Welcome to Uprising, Clark.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us. So first, tell us about those 4 that were apparently arrested. Some reports have been saying that they were just detained. How did the arrests happen?
Sonali, I was across the street out of the danger zone. I personally didn't get a real clear view. It was a very chaotic, tense situation, and I just didn't see exactly what happened, but it happened quite quickly. I don't think that there was any real violence or really any particular clash that kind of sparked this little incident, but I think that was the only thing, in a tense, 8-hour standoff or so that resembled any sort of violent behavior. So in that sense, I think we did quite well.
Well, Clark, can you explain for us exactly what the city is asking and what its deadline is? A minute past midnight last night was supposed to be the deadline by which time you and others were supposed to leave. However, the police have not forcibly evicted you. So what exactly are they asking for?
Well, it's interesting because I actually interviewed Commander Smith. It was probably around 10 o'clock.
Can you repeat who you interviewed?
Commander Smith of the LAPD, mm-hmm. And I think they made it quite clear that the park was closing at 12:01. They basically suggested that arrest could, I don't know if they said would be, I think that was the hitch. It was, more or less, we could have arrested you every day since you've been here. We can definitely arrest you tonight. We are closing the park. We're gonna refurbish it and recondition it, and tonight's the night that the park is officially closed. So that was kind of what we're working with. Obviously at 12:01, I think there was no less than 3,000 people in the park. And it became clear quite quickly, even though there was mass misinformation swirling around the evening, reports of 2,000 police officers congregating at Illusion Park, reports of, 2,000 police officers on horseback, making the way towards the camp. None of that ended up being true. The police, I think, behaved in an absolutely upstanding fashion. I think we did pretty much upheld our end of the bargain as well, too. And, you know, in essence, even though the night was definitely tense and very long, I think ultimately went quite well.
Well, what about what led up to this whole situation in terms of rumors of the city offering the Occupy campers 10,000 square foot space?
There was definitely an offer on the table. I actually saw a written copy of it, but it was very vague. We started looking, we started kind of picking it apart, and it was quite clear that it was not really an offer that we could even negotiate with or even really discuss. I went and looked at the office space that was part of the proposal, basically right across the street from City Hall. It was in a mall. Those mall hours are, you know, from, I think, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. or so. And obviously we were not going to be able to live there. You know, 100 beds was nice, and we appreciated that, but that was not going to be sufficient ultimately. And the farm issue also was quite vague. So ultimately it wasn't really something I believe that, you know, the GA and the movement itself felt like they could really work with, and ultimately I think we just shied away from it.
Now, I understand, Clark, at least according to Occupy Los Angeles's website, that there was some controversy about who was authorized to negotiate with the city and the police on behalf of Occupy LA. It's obviously complicated when decisions are taken by consensus with hundreds of people at you know, once a day in the evening. It makes it more difficult to sort of deputize certain people to speak on behalf of a very large group.
No doubt about it, Sonali. I mean, I think the decision-making process, personally, in the GA is fundamentally flawed and really keeps us from making decisions that will move the movement forward in a really positive direction. I think we really got bogged down in process and detail, and we had trouble seeing, you know, the forest through the trees, so to speak. You know, I'm a little discouraged that in our 58 days or so there that we didn't get a little bit more accomplished. But it was a very challenging working environment there on the South Lawn. You know, there was always something happening, and it proved to be just difficult to really kind of get down and get to business, which a lot of us went there to do. I think a lot of people got real discouraged. People pulled out of the movement. We had fresh faces coming in, but I think in most instances, again, the circumstances there were challenging.
Well, then, based on that, how important is it to hold on to a physical space? And what do you make of the notion that even Villaraigosa has expressed that people should disperse now and take the message broader and wider?
Yeah, I mean, I really have to speak for myself. There's clearly people within the movement that think that holding the park there is really important. I digress from that train of thought. I think that we gave it our best shot. I think the city really gave us a lot of opportunities. I think that we didn't really, you know, follow up on effectively. You know, this is so much bigger than City Hall. It's so much bigger than the LAPD. The issues that, you know, this country and humanity is facing, I mean, we're in a crisis, literally. And, you know, we're not at war with the LAPD. We're not at war with our city. I thought all along that we could really be a shining example of cooperation, you know, between a city and its citizens, and I think we've succeeded at that to a certain level. You know, I'm not going to be camping there anymore. I'm obviously going to continue to be a part of it.
But you were there all night last night.
Yeah, I've been there pretty much on the ground for 59 days, pretty much 24 hours a day. I'm going to still show up, presumably every day. But my, I'm driving home right now. My van's full of all my gear that I accumulated there. And, we're going to start regrouping. I think we're going to have a unique opportunity here to really pull the people out that have really been dedicated and committed to this thing, that have really, helped advance it forward. And I think, you know, there's going to be a restructuring and a regrouping here. And I think we need to come up with some, a common vision that we can really unite under and work together and get organized. We had a very difficult time getting organized there at many different levels.
I'm speaking with Clark Davis. He is one of Occupy LA's media coordinators. He's been spending the night in front of City Hall since the encampment there began October 1st. And the official deadline by which campers are supposed to have left the space was midnight, a minute past midnight last night. However, there are still hundreds of campers there, I understand. Clark, can you tell us what exactly the status is right now as of this morning? How many people does it seem to you are planning on staying there till they're forced to leave by the police?
Well, based on what happened last night, I mean, I think it's safe to say that there's, well into the hundreds of people that seem like, continuing to occupy this space there is something that they're going to dedicate their energies to. This morning, as I left about maybe 15 or 20 minutes ago, there was at least 300 people in the encampment. A lot of tents have been cleared out. It's really hard to say what's going to happen in the next few days. One of the police officers I talked to thought that they would probably give us to the end of the week. Obviously, that's totally unconfirmed, but someone did say that to me. I think Commander Sherman, I think has been fantastic. I think the police department really needs some fantastic accolades at this point in time. But there's a lot of people there. I personally would hope that that we start really looking forward, but we'll see what happens.
Now, I understand that another major action coming up that Occupy LA is involved in is the planned shutdown of ports on the West Coast in coordination with Occupy Oakland that's slated to happen on December 12th. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I know that's been, a discussion that I believe there's the committee. Obviously, that is a part of Occupy Los Angeles, but the committees have some autonomy, and this is something that has been been planned. I would imagine that there's every intention of it moving forward. I don't know too many of the details. We'll just have to see how that unfolds. That could be a very interesting event in its own.
And KPFK will absolutely be covering that. Again, the planned shutdown of ports here in Southern California in coordination with the Bay Area will be happening December 12th. And there's a major coalition that is gathering and organizing around that.
Denali, I want to say something about this because, so many Americans have lost their jobs. I mean, we got cheap, and I don't want to sound derogatory here, but we have cheap Chinese goods that's flooding our economy. We can't even imagine how many jobs have been lost in this country due to that, these trade imbalances and cheap goods that basically none of us really need ultimately, and yet, we mace each other at Walmart for. I mean, I think if we can focus on those issues and make this something, a day-long kind of action or something like that, I think it could be really effective in bringing America's eyes to this issue, which I think is deeply problematic at this point in time. So, again, I don't really know the details. There's been discussions on the table about it happening. I think if we talk about why we're going to do this in a clear and concise fashion and not just do it to do it, I think it could be really effective.
Well, Clark, finally, what is the city offering at this point? We talked about the earlier offer of the space that was rejected. I understand it was even actually rescinded by the city ahead of time, although those details now seem irrelevant. In terms of what's now being offered, I understand that the city is offering a sort of free speech area on the steps of City Hall every day, as well as 50 beds for homeless people among activists.
Well, the mayor suggested the other day in his press conference that indeed social workers would show up today en masse, which they did. I talked to quite a few of them. They were indeed out there talking to people, getting names and numbers, and trying to figure out how they can help. So I was really pleased to see that happen. I'm sorry, I got a little sidetracked.
What about the offer of a sort of free speech space for people to speak out on City Hall?
That's absolutely real and happening, and I would assume that we will take advantage of it, although at this point in time, we still quote unquote occupy the park. So we'll probably keep doing it on the south side until further notice.
And I mentioned earlier that there was this, well, it was being called by Occupy LA as a list of grievances that have not yet been met. This is a statement on OccupyLosAngeles.org and apparently agreed to by full consensus by the General Assembly on November 23rd. And it reads like a list of demands, even if it's being called a list of grievances. And that includes returning the South Central Farm. It includes really dealing seriously with the issue of LA's homeless, declaring a moratorium on all foreclosures, declaring LA a sanctuary city for the undocumented. What are those demands, and how important are those? Will are activists planning on staying at City Hall until the city seriously considers all of those?
Well, I would imagine that the people that participated in that aspect of this movement that were convinced that these were issues that were near and dear to their heart, I would imagine that some of the people would absolutely stay until they feel like some of these are addressed. Again, I think that there's much bigger and broader issues that we should be tackling, but it does start locally, and we have to start somewhere. I suppose. And so, I support it. I think one of the other things was on the table was no more cuts to the LAPD and their salaries and their pensions, which I asked a few of the police officers out there this evening or this morning at 4 a.m. if they were receiving overtime, and they weren't. And they were obviously quite disgruntled about that. And I think that was one of the items on that list.
I believe it's specifically no cutbacks in city services or attacks on the wages, work conditions and pensions of city employees, which, of course, include the police. It also includes or requests the city of L.A. to begin a dialogue with the state and federal level on the issues of student debt and tuition hikes, a world-class transit system which addresses our debilitating traffic problem and restores the quality of life in Los Angeles, and more. We will link to that statement on our website, uprisingradio.org, but you can find it yourself at OccupyLosAngeles.org. Clark Davis, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sonali.
Clark Davis is one of the media coordinators for Occupy Los Angeles. He has been camping out in front of City Hall from day one, October 1st. He's decided that that's it for him, although he will continue to participate daily in the General Assemblies. And we will, of course, bring you a diversity of viewpoints on this topic and on this issue as it continues. The tent city in front of City Hall could be evicted any day this week.